This is Monday, April 26th, and my name is Lynn Free, and welcome to our BBS conference call simulcast. Thank you all for being here tonight. And there's probably going to be more people on the BBS line because I just heard that I sent out the wrong access code. So I'd like to say hello to all our invisible listeners. Can you hear me? I know you can hear me. Now I can't hear you, but I can feel you. So close your eyes and say hello back. I can feel it. Okay. Thank you. And we have a few people on the line. We have Hives in Magalia. And we have Gene in South Dakota. And who else is there?
Joan in Georgia.
Joan in Georgia. Good. You didn't follow my email and dial the wrong one, right?
You sound like you're underwater.
I do? Wait a second.
Yeah, the connection is very, very bad.
I heard your voice clear, Wynn, and I guess I got to record myself.
Okay, is this better?
I'm sorry, I can't make out what you're saying.
Joan, is this better? Is this better?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Joan, let me just ask you, is this better right now? Hang on a second.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Was that better, Joan?
No, the same.
How about with you, Hives? Do I sound okay with you?
No, this doesn't. Earlier was fine.
This does not sound good, huh?
It does not. No, earlier, the way you sounded earlier was good over here.
When we first, even when I muted everybody, it didn't get better, huh?
That is correct. Remain the same.
Muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
Well, if any of you on the line are having a hard time hearing me, I suggest you go to BBS Radio Station 2 because we have a direct connection there and you'll hear better. And Terry is on that direct connection. Terry, you're there, right? Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry.
Hello? I muted myself.
You know what? Could you pay a little more attention to that? Because it's very embarrassing every time. You know, every time we start these shows and I say, hello, Terry, you're muted and you're not prepared to unmute. Could you be kind of more ready on that? Because we're having a number of people listen to us and it's embarrassing because we start to look unprofessional. Could you pay more attention?
I'm paying total attention. It just takes me a while to turn the mute off.
Okay. Well, maybe at the beginning of the show, leave the mute on until I start talking for a bit so that we don't have that happen. Because I get insecure because I think I'm going to have you there, and then I'm not sure if you're there. You know, we're working with technology and... We're working with technology and celestial energies, and if anything can go wrong, it usually will. And we have a really important topic for tonight. And
what's your topic?
Pardon me?
What is your topic?
I'm just about to tell it. You know, Terry never knows what I'm going to talk about, just in case you're interested. We don't prepare this. I come up with stuff, and it's always a surprise. So she doesn't have time to think about it and use her own mind. So when we're talking, unless she's good enough to come up with these answers herself, we have a source that is really, really able to look at these things from a high level. And where are you physically located now, Terry?
I'm in the room.
You are. Now, are you using the speaker box right now?
Yeah.
Now, are you holding the speaker box in the way I told you to hold it last time?
I'm trying to get a place to sit down here. Am I holding it? I'm moving it around.
You know, don't put it to your ear. Put it, hold it in front of you like a microphone, with the microphone side close to your mouth. Okay. We want to get good audio tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Is this good?
Talk a
Is
second.
Is this good?
Sure. Terry?
Yes.
Now, is
good.
The microphone side closest to your mouth?
It's an inch away.
Okay. Well, I can hear you. You're pretty clear. So just don't move from that location. And try to keep it steady. Maybe put your arm on something so when you start to channel, the volumes don't change radically. Okay?
All right.
Figure out how to ground yourself. Because the topic tonight is...
Did you start your own recording yet, Vin?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay. We have hello to all the people that are checking into the replay line and the downloads. This is Monday, April 26th. And our topic tonight is personal love, romantic love, tribal love, and unconditional love. And I think this is an area which is rather important and is also confusing, because we know that in this period of time, according to our information, that keeping your heart open is extremely important for graduating this realm. And I'm not saying that that's any of that's true, but if you've read our material, there's a big case that that's true. And whether it's true or not, keeping your heart open is a good thing. So how do you keep your heart open? How do you know if it's open? Because the word love has a lot of different meanings. And as I was thinking about it today, I was thinking, of course, everybody knows what romantic love is. It's that time when people meet and they're swooning and they're having great intimacy. And it usually lasts 3 or 4 months. And then it gets down to tax, and people have to then figure out where it goes from there. And I think personal love is maybe the love of friends. It could even be the love of your wife. But where it's not just romantic love. Now, tribal love, this is my definition, tribal love is the love of your support group. And suppose, for example, you have a family and you have kids. You have kind of a tribe, and you're accepted in that tribe, and you care specially for the people in your tribe. And the tribe may be bigger than that. The tribe might be extended to your greater family, your parents, your grandparents, maybe your church. Maybe you identify the church as your people. And so the bottom line is that there's an in-group and an out-group. And the in-group is your tribe, and the out-group is strangers. And then there's unconditional love. I use the word unconditional love. I'm not even sure unconditional is the right word. But we're going to explore this topic with our sources to try to understand it better and see if we can refine our own, how would I say it, ability to tap in to our experience of the highest love possible, and particularly the kind of love that helps you graduate this realm. Like, if you're romantically in love, does that help? If you're personally in love, does that help? If you're tribally in love or having a loving connection with your tribe, does that help? or do you need to learn unconditional love in order to graduate? Now, I have an idea what the answers to these things are, but I've actually never asked them. So we're going to find out tonight from our sources. And, of course, our sources are made up of, they say they're made up of these soul groups, these two soul groups, and one of them is made up of graduates of this realm, and they know all the ins and outs of the pitfalls here. They have the wisdom of it. And the other group is able, has not taken bodies, and is able to beam into this realm from where they are and help us in clearing our own matrix, in having synchronicities. And both group souls honor free will. So they say that they're able to help us. Many people who have come on our lines have had amazing things happen, from personal transformations to seeing visions to miracles of healing, judging from all the emails I receive. So while you're on the line, there's two things happening. There is me talking and the information occupying your mind, but there's also this potential access to these energies of these group souls, which, as they explain it, is available to people on this line. And sometimes if you shut your eyes right now and kind of just look above your head to see if you can feel energy moving out of the top of your head, you might be making a connection. We can check that later and see if it's increased. But they are available. They say they're available. And just by being on this line, you are opening the door to that potential. But they don't violate your free will, so it's something that you have to ask for, you have to want to occur, and you have to trust. So part of just talking about this is seeing if trust is generated and you're comfortable with this kind of connection. So, Terry, are you unmuted? Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm unmuted.
Okay, you sound loud. You're unmuted. For those of you that might be listening for the first time, Terry is someone who is able to be a voice, a communication voice for these energies we're talking about. So we have the potential to experience their energies while we're on this line, and not just when we're on this line, you can experience it when you're by yourself, but for most people, that's a new kind of experience. So this line is a good place to get the reference point for that experience, and then if that's something you're comfortable with, you can learn to bring them into your life. And it would be more like looking at it like energy friends. Energy friends that don't have an expectation of you, but are available to give you support. Because they don't have bodies, they don't need food, they're not competing for money. And as I have come to understand, one of their greatest joys is to be able to connect with this realm and support people. And most people don't know they exist. And most people don't look for them. So on these calls, we give everyone an opportunity to connect. So, Terry, shall I call in the light? Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Now, calling in the light is my way of asking for their presence. And we do this all the time, and creating a safe space for them to communicate with us and for us to be open to these energies in a safe space. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line and everyone listening over the internet, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the positive universe through the galaxies, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a braiding of our energies, a collective, a connection. And we do this while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our individualities. When we become into a state of oneness, we are still simultaneously individual. And we invite those sources that are positive, that are service to other, that are operating in the law of one, to join with us, to connect with our energies in other dimensions and in this one, insofar as we can be open to it. And we create a protected space that only positive can access, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present?
Yes, this is Ra Arndt, and we are with you this April 26, 2010, focused through Terry Brown in Los Angeles, California, with the moderator, Lynn Free. We have experienced the topic for today, and we are available for your specific questions on this topic.
Well, could you discuss, just from your point of view, the differences between those four kinds of love and their relationship to graduation of this realm? There was romantic love, personal love, tribal love, and unconditional love.
Could you define personal love?
Personal love might be the love of two friends, the love that people choose to have that would not be familial, okay? Which I would call tribal love. This is the way I'm looking at it. Tribal love is familial love, love of a group, an in-group of some sort, from your family to your church to your neighborhood, anything where there's an in-group, where there's a relationship based on security, I suppose. There's a certain aspect. Now, a relationship with a church may not just be based on security. It may be based on many higher purposes. But I'm looking at tribal love as love, a protective love for a given group of people.
Thank you. We see many variations of love and the individual at the heart of the individual. The individual naked from all of the things that he or she has taken on is pure love. And as one takes on other shades, other ambiances, then one overcomes that love with other agendas and other emotions. Emotion can be viewed as a range of love from heartfelt love through to heartfelt hate. And usually where there is heartfelt hate, then that is an arm or a segment of heartfelt love that has respond terribly disappointing and sad, and the expectation of the individual has not been satisfied, and they were looking at some other outcome or some other behavior on the part of the other than had been shown. There is an infinite variety. For instance, if you take romantic love, it can be tinged by the expectation of what the other can do for one. For the fellow, it can be a girl who would be a tremendous asset walking down the street on his arm, and the individual might say, oh, look at the girl that he has. He must be a great fellow. And the girl may look at the guy and say, he can support the family and he can bring security into my life and protect me as I raise a family. And this may be tinging the love that she experiences. And later on, if this begins to falter, she may review her look at him and begin to get angry as her expectation was not met. The girl walking on the arm of the man as they have been together over many years, and she has grown fat and she has grown careless of her looks. He may begin to look around for another individual who can walk down the street on his arm and look very good and bring him the same expectation of admiration as he had with the original girlfriend or wife. So there can be all kinds of tinges of expectations. This is one of the reasons why romantic love can fade, in that the individual then finds that there are quirks or there are aspects of the other person that are irritating or are not to what he originally expected or she originally expected. The type of love wherein the relationship of romantic love gets past this, and the woman discovers that the man snores, and the man discovers that the woman snores and picks her nose, and then once one can get through that and experience an unconditional, non-judgmental love, then these irritations can fade away, and the individual then can experience with his or her partner stronger and stronger love and caring, and they can then find the true foundation for their harmony in their life together, and can unite as a front, and can then begin to create a family unit as a whole and provide a safe space for youngins to be brought in and to grow, and then with both of them deal with the children, and it can become a true loving relationship between all. The unconditional love is something that we experience in the higher realms as we do not have preconditioned responses to things, and we do not have worldly expectations of individuals. So one might even say we may be missing a wall of judgment that can come in at the lower realms. As in the lower realms, judgment is made often on how well the partner can support the family unit, the man financially or the woman with her skills at homemaking. Personal love between friends is often the coming together of two individuals that have been traveling together on the track and are able to meld their energies and to share experiences and friendship of a cognizant nature wherein they are able to grab each other at a very deep level based upon past experiences together, which have been submerged and they do not even know at the time that there is this deep underlying wealth of experiences from the past track together. Oftentimes when these friends meet each other, they then are able to move forward in a instant friendship, and it can become a friendship for life. There are thus the unconditional love which a personal relationship can grow into, a love between friends which is often creative, and the individuals can carry forward past experiences and past goals, and to bring them into creation to a farther fulfillment. And there's tribal love wherein the individual feels at home within his city, within his family, within his race, and feels more uncomfortable within another race. Often when an individual becomes born in another country but is of a past history of a previous lifetime within a tribe outside of his current tribe, he may feel drawn to go visit some other location and feel drawn to hang out with them and feel very comfortable in the other surroundings, perhaps more comfortable in those other surroundings than within his new found life in a different tribe. That is one of the reasons wherein it has been difficult with different tribes placed upon earth, where an individual attempts to live within the social structure of another tribe but finds it difficult. There is an underlying desire for harmony within all tribes, so also there is a desire to merge tribes. However, one may feel uncomfortable with life and customs in another tribe. Do you have further questions?
Yes, I do. Is there a connection between unconditional love and the law of one? What Ra calls the law of one.
Yes. In the law of one, all, at the basis of that, all are one. All are one being experiencing itself through different outlets. Therefore, at the base of all, there is love. And at the heart of everything, there is love, even though there may be different individual characteristics that have developed over time in different species and different body types, as even the trees, even the lizards, as even the fish, have had their basis in experience that is based out of all that is, which is the one.
Thank you. Since we are talking about this idea of graduating from this realm and this idea that there is a separation of souls that's occurring, if someone is experiencing one of the other forms of love other than unconditional love, in other words, for example, if someone is in romantic love, their heart is open and they are usually, if they're really in it, they're feeling completed, they're feeling wonderful during that period of time of the romantic love. Let's suppose they should die at that moment. Would they graduate because their heart is open? Or would all the other things be holding them back and pulling them into further lessons in this realm?
When one is in romantic love, they are usually focused on another person, and this focus is often two-way. There is like a two-way window between these two individuals, and they are feeling synchronistic and desiring to be together. This may hinder their travel in that their focus is on the other, and the other's focus is on the first one, and therefore, if they were required to refocus, to move separately, then they would hang back, and their focus would remain on the other. Therefore, this could limit their movements, and it could, if one didn't move with the other, it could hold the other back.
I see. And on all these other kinds of love, in terms of graduating this realm, is unconditional love the requirement for graduation?
Unconditional love is the love of the higher frequencies, and therefore the more one is experiencing unconditional love, the more one can let go of individual circumstances and can flow into other circumstances. If one is experiencing other kinds of love, it is a limiting factor. It is a limited love within its own framework, and therefore the unconditional love, the person that experiences that has the best chance of movement into the new realm.
So, a person could be experiencing all those other kinds of love, but unconditional love could be added to it at the same time. Is that a way of looking at it?
That's a very good way of looking at it. We applaud that way.
Mm-hmm. So, if they're just experiencing tribal love or romantic love or even the love of a friend, it may not qualify them for graduation.
That's correct.
Because, you know, one interesting thing is that sometimes people who are in the middle of those other kinds of love can seem really together. They can seem very charismatic. They're feeling very secure and confident. They have a very strong family root. And it looks like they've got it together. And yet, in spite of them having it, looking like they're having it together, it doesn't mean that they would graduate. Is that correct?
They may be within their own framework so much that they try to hold on to their framework and to not let it change. However, it is a start, because when one opens their heart with one person, then they also can begin to open their heart with other individuals, so it can be a platform to grow and to expand from.
Mm-hmm. Now, can somebody be in a state of loneliness and still have unconditional love and graduate?
That's possible, yes.
So you could be lonely and still graduate this realm. And on the other hand, you could look really great and have a wonderful relationship with your family and not graduate.
That's correct, because the wonderful relationship may then hold them to it, and they may not, they may attempt to hold fast to it and not change with the changes.
So at that moment, if a person was in that, in kind of involvement, and they died at that moment, their being would keep tying themselves to that family, to that circumstance, and it would keep them from releasing into the higher realms. Is that right?
That's
that a way?
They may then reincarnate back into the family and again pick up the pattern.
Because I know many, many times people ask questions and they say, I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my husband. I'm worried about my parents. Now, there's a thing about when they own the worry, like when they feel that they're responsible for all those other people, I would think that might be something that would keep them coming back to those people and locked into the same path that those people were on. Is that true?
That's exactly correct, yes.
So people have to have care without worry, and then let people find their own way. And they can be supportive, but if they worry, they could be locking themselves in.
That's correct.
Okay. So if somebody owns this idea and say, oh my God, I want to have unconditional love. How do I have unconditional love in the state I'm in? What would be things they could do to help them have unconditional love?
Refocus out of the state. As when you are in the state, you are focused within the state, and you just keep experiencing it over and over and recreating it. Do things to refocus. Get your attention out. Go for a walk. Get a dog. Walk the dog. Go to a romantic movie. Do something that in your past experience lifts you out of that focus and enables you to expand your in your chest and in your stomach and in your throat. Do you feel expansion there? Or is the pattern you in creating contraction, which is an indication that there is something not quite right in that area? So use your internal guidance system to see what expands you towards a more open heart and makes you feel better and more friendly and outgoing.
I would imagine that if someone was involved in the lower forms of love and attached to it, if they're attached to romantic love, personal love, tribal love, any of those kinds of love, they might have a harder time connecting with the higher sources. Like, they wouldn't have an openness. They would be tied up in those areas. Is that true?
Yes, there is a range, as we mentioned, wherein love can be very beautiful and very high and create a very high state. What then can gradiently can sink down into an area where one is obsessive and demanding of the person. And this is a very other self fulfilling, but not two way. And this is possession more than true love. And this can really be hard to bear when one is in that state. It doesn't feel good when one is in the possessive state. And when the other individual then responds, it may not be true loving response, but out of fear or fear that they might lose their source of income or their security. It's not a fulfilling relationship for either one.
Yes. You know, I know there's people that are going to be listening to this, they're listening to it right now perhaps, that really love their children and their families, and in fact, they would interpret service to others as, I must sacrifice for others. So they're walking around thinking, what can I do to help my children? What can I do to make sure my children have money? What can I do so that my child is not going through ADD or some other kind of problem, or get my child off drugs? And then they say, I have to be around that person. They need me. And how would a person address that circumstance when they have those kinds of considerations and hearing this new idea? How would they deal with their need? And I use the word sacrifice because I know I've known people like that, people who felt that they had to sacrifice for others all the time, and considering that that was service to others. Could we have some clarification on that?
Yes. When you are a teacher for your children or for your friends or for other family members, you are teaching them to take up the path, their own path, and you are only responsible as a nature, not as somebody that will keep hand feeding them with their childhood spoon their whole life and doing everything for them. There needs to be a relationship of teaching a man to fish instead of fishing for him, teaching a child how to earn his way, how to get along, how to communicate, how to stand on his own. And this takes a special kind of a parenting relationship where one does not do everything for the child. One does not try to be everything for the child. One does not demand a certain path from the child, but lets the child find his or her way. And it is a growth experience in that situation for both parties, the child and the parent. If someone gets so debilitated, for instance, an older parent that cannot any longer fend for themselves, then one may get into sacrifice to make sure that they survive and are okay. This is a different kind of an experience that needs to be looked at, how to use the social environment things that are available to help an older person and to see what's available to help them to alleviate the stress upon the individual who is trying to work for someone in a handicapped situation who is unable to fend for themselves. As children, when they are first born, are unable to fend for themselves. So they would also at that time fit into that care category. However, when one begins, when the child goes a little older, one needs to foster self-reliance and even on the older individual to work as much as possible for the individual to be self-reliant. So you have two strong people together rather than one that is totally reliant on the other, although we realize there are situations where the handicapped person may become a burden.
Thank you. I remember there was a reading that we did some at one point for someone. And by the way, if any of you are listening or interested in a reading, you can go to DaphneReading.com. And they're really, really valuable, DaphneReading.com. But we did a reading. We only have about a minute here. And somebody who was in the position of making all these sacrifices for their children, that they were told that by doing that, they weren't necessarily setting a good example, because the children were going to follow the model of the parent who was making sacrifices and feel that life was all about sacrifices, or else taking advantage of people that are making sacrifices. And I thought that was very wise, that if you want people around you to be something, you have to embody what you'd like to inspire them to be. You can't be thinking that they can do it, and you can't. On that note, I'll just let you make some final comments, and we'll say goodbye to everybody. Thank you so much for sharing all this wisdom in that tricky topic.
You're very welcome. We adore the opportunity to be with you and speak with you and each and every one who is listening and will listen. Adonai.
Thank you. So we'll say goodbye to everybody on DBS. I thank Thais for reminding me to start the tape. I hope the tape came out okay. And of course, I can't stop the tape.
Press 1 to stop recording. This conference is no longer being recorded.